This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana, together with Xiaoning and Philip. We're discussing recent developments in pandemic policy. So the EMCO, or Enhanced Movement Control Order, has been lifted over Klang Valley as of Saturday, as announced by Deputy Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri last week. The stricter lockdown ran for 2 weeks since July 3rd. And now that it has ended, the Klang Valley is placed under Phase 1 of the National Recovery Plan.
But despite this, Malaysia's healthcare system remains stretched to its limit, with the number of daily cases consistently hitting five digits. The Klang Valley remains the epicenter of the COVID-19 infection, accounting for half of the nationwide cases. Meanwhile, the health DG has also warned that infections would continue increasing over the next 2 weeks due to the more infectious Delta variant of the virus, which has now been detected in every state.
In the meantime, the government has signaled that Phase 2 of the National Recovery Plan could be achieved nationwide by early August. Now, the question, of course, is how realistic is this timeline and what needs to be done to actually reach that critical milestone?
And for some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Azrul Muhammad Khalib, CEO of the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. Good morning, Azrul. So the EMCO has ended and we're now under Phase 1 of the National Recovery Plan. What do you think the government should be focusing on next to reduce the numbers of cases?
So, you know, first of all, I would dispute the claim that mass COVID-19 screening has been completed in Selangor. The nature of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, is such that you can expect to need regular screenings depending on the nature of your job. This is not blood typing where you test once and the result is it. A negative test result last week means nothing if you got infected this week. So certain categories of people have to be regularly screened, such as people working in hospitals at the emergency department, people doing the vaccinations at the PPV, the uniform personnel such as police, RELA, volunteers working at the COVID assessment centres, factory personnel, individuals involved in public transportation such as bus drivers. So what should the government be doing to reduce the number of cases? It's probably that which has been seen to be working in other countries, and it's the same boring thing that we've been asked to do for the past year and a half. Wear masks properly, practice good hand hygiene protocol, maintain a distance during close encounters, and most importantly, now, when you get called up, go for your vaccination jab. Tomorrow is Hari Raya Haji. This will probably fall on deaf ears, but I'm going to say this, that the state should not permit congregational prayer unless there are 10 people or so. It isn't roadblocks, lockdowns, threats of fines or barbed wire that's going to bring down these cases, but our practices and behaviour.
Yeah, I mean, one of the behaviours you mentioned is to go and get vaccinated. Now, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin said the government now aims to have all Malaysian adults to be fully vaccinated by October. Realistic?
Well, I must say that's incredibly ambitious. I certainly want to see that happen in reality, but the problem right now isn't so much those who have been registered under MySejahtera, but those who have been left behind. So we're looking at people who are undocumented, people who are bedridden, people who are unable to be registered in the system for some reason or another, including the homeless, for example. So it's a good target, but I would say more towards the end of the year rather than in August or October even.
So Azrul, how should we reach out to these type of people to make sure that they get vaccinated?
Well, you know, the great thing is that it's really happening today. We have people who are working with the Ministry of Health right now to ensure that those who are so-called left behind are able to be reached and vaccinated. And I say this about initiatives such as the recent walk-ins for those above the age of 60. So you basically can show that you have an IC that shows that you're above that age, and to also show that you haven't got a prior appointment, you can get in and get vaccinated. That's good. Recently, a group of NGOs such as Mercy Malaysia, the National Cancer Society of Malaysia, and Persatu Ambulan Sabit Merah have been working with the Ministry of Health. They have vaccination teams to get to those who are bedridden, housebound, or extremely vulnerable, unable to get through to the system for whatever reason. And also, there have been some NGOs working with the Ministry of Health who are running vaccination registration centres for those who are homeless in areas like Chowkit. And this is extremely positive in reaching out to those who are being left behind. So a lot of these initiatives are happening. They are reaching out, but I'm almost certain that we won't be able to say 100% that we're able to cover those who need to be covered by those states. So it's an ongoing process.
Right. And turning our attention to another area, the Education Ministry has announced that schools will reopen gradually starting September 1st. But do you think this is the right move?
Well, you know, it's a rather difficult dilemma that the government is in when it comes to schools. We know more today than we did last year in March 2020. What we have always known is that children and adolescents can be infected with SARS-CoV-2. They can get sick with COVID-19 and can spread the virus to others. They are, however, less likely to develop symptomatic COVID-19 or have maybe mild non-specific symptoms like headaches or sore throats. Though they are less likely to develop serious illnesses or die, cases have occurred. So when we talk about reopening schools, it means that we need to make sure that the prevention strategies are in place to protect those attending schools. What we know at the moment is that teachers would be at the highest risk due to their age and underlying medical conditions. Staff-to-staff transmission seems to be more common than transmission from students to staff, staff to student, or student to student. So I would make it an absolute priority before reopening the schools to ensure that all teachers and school staff members are fully vaccinated before. So it is also necessary to do this in phased approaches. So perhaps we should start with the critical classes, such as those in primary level, as well as those sitting for critical exams.
I mean, you made a very interesting point that the focus on teachers to get them all vaccinated. Any other SOPs you feel we need to implement in schools as well?
No, still the same ones that I mentioned just now, you know, wear masks, hand hygiene. Even though you've completed your vaccination cycle, you still have to do what we've been doing for the past year and a half.
Now, the government is also planning to have special privileges for those that are fully vaccinated. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, this is a tricky one. There's a lot of debate about this issue, not just here in Malaysia, but also in other countries around the world, what you can do once you're fully vaccinated. People have been talking about certificates, passes, passports, in order to enter things like clubs, pubs. There's no real answer to that, and it differs from country to country. There's no formula. And in some countries, such as the UK, there's been a discussion that people would have to show their vaccine certificate or card as a kind of passport to enter theatres, you know, pubs, restaurants, and so forth. Now, while it does sound like it makes sense, something like that, though, would allow those fully vaccinated to enjoy more freedoms, but it would actually create and widen social division. So you're going to have a situation where, you know, we talk about have and have nots, right? This could be a division between have jabs and have not jabs. So there could be serious consequences resulting in people being denied essential and necessary access to services and even places like supermarkets just because their appointment dates haven't come up and they haven't been privileged to get vaccinated yet. So even after you have been fully vaccinated, it's going to be necessary for us to comply with SOPs regardless. And it's not a really good idea to necessarily put into place something that divides people. And this is something that the government is in a little bit of a pickle, because we want to be able to tell people that you've been fully vaccinated. What can you then do? Are the same rules applying to you even when you've already been vaccinated? What's the point of getting fully vaccinated if you can't do the things that you should be able to do prior to the COVID crisis?
But Azrul, could this then be implemented at the right time then, when vaccines are readily available to everyone who wants it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, when you look at it, what we need to make sure is that more and more people get registered, able to get their first jab as soon as possible. And, you know, one of the things that we need to make sure is that we don't marginalize or leave out people. And that's my priority. That's what I want to be able to say. I mean, right now, I can say that I've been fully vaccinated. I've received my two jabs. I should be able to enter a theater, go and eat at a restaurant and so forth. But I would also consider the fact that a lot of people are not as privileged as I am. So we have to do a little bit more thinking there. I mean, what kind of services should be accessible to people regardless, and adhering to SOPs which apply to everyone. So we need to do a little bit more thinking about that. There's no easy formula.
All right, Azrul, thank you so much. That was Azrul Muhammad Khalib, CEO of the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy, weighing in on whether vaccinated people should have special privileges. He's leaning on the probably not side.
Or until later when everybody can have access to the vaccine. And just to wrap up our poll, right, because this morning we did ask, should fully vaccinated people have fewer restrictions? And overwhelmingly, 38% say depends on the restrictions. 36% say just say yes, while 23% say no, and only 2.6% said they're not sure. And we had 500 over votes. I think everybody wants a bit of freedom, let's face it, right? It is a bit of lockdown fatigue. But I think Azrul also reminds us that regardless of whatever, whether you've been vaccinated, not vaccinated, whether we're in phase one, phase two, the SOPs still remain. We need to wear our masks, practice social distancing, wash our hands. None of these things change. And of course, if you haven't been vaccinated, sign up. And once you get an appointment, go for it.
That's right. Remember that vaccines are a shield. They don't give you full protection. So we still need to maintain SOPs and keep on our guard. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.